A man went to the moon and the internet was created all before the actual structure of a clitoris was known to people. I think that's important to know because female sexuality and pleasure, orgasms, all of that has been seen as something that was complex, something that was oftentimes vilified, stigmatized throughout history. And it's still very much present today, although sex is no longer as taboo as it was. It's still very much taboo, especially when it comes to women's orgasm and pleasure. And it's Women's History Month, so I figured I would kind of talk about that today, bring in my own personal examples of how I viewed sexuality throughout my life, and then how that kind of has evolved over time, along with some history around female sexuality. I know I've done a previous episode on this, but that was a long ass time ago, so it's time for a refresher, especially for the ones that are just now joining us. So I'm just gonna hop right into this episode.
It's your freak hostess, Jody, and you're tuned into Provocative.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
I will marry a nigga off some dick because everything else we can work on.
And I have sporadic periods of excessive masturbation. I really like how that just sounded. If I fuck you once and it's good, I'm gonna keep fucking you. Cause I didn't start sucking dick until college.
Blew in that man's butthole. That shit is wicked. That shit is...
I was thinking to myself, I want to say maybe a week ago, and that whole debate around who's the prize in a relationship. Now, of course, more recently, men have begun to say that they're the prize. And honestly, I don't care that they want to be the prize. I really don't care because I do not want to be the prize. I don't want to be seen as the prize. It just seems like it holds pressure that I don't want. This idea of being an object in that way, I just don't want to have that be over my head. Quite honestly, I don't like the idea of being a prize. I don't like the idea that people say things like, a real woman should act like this. A real man should act like this. If you want to be seen as a prize, you have to be this way. And I think that that's just some respectability politics bullshit. And I refuse it. I refuse to go about describing myself as the prize. Just treat me like a decent human being. Please treat me like a human. Do not treat me like a prize, because prizes oftentimes can lose value. Prizes can be taken for granted. Prizes can be underappreciated because you've been running this race and now you are at the peak, and then you receive whatever it was as a stamp of honor or a trophy. And now it's like, what now? Right? I don't want to be seen that way. I think this whole idea of, well, the history of women being viewed as the prize, right? Prize possession, the thing that people should chase. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with courting. What I'm saying, it is something wrong with how we view the value of women and comparing that value to an object. I'm a person. I'm not an object. So I don't even want to normalize that type of speech when it comes to me. I think that we have to steer away from referring to ourselves that way. Again, I don't care that men want that. Y'all can have it. Because I don't want it. I don't want it, honestly. I think it's kind of crazy that we we complain about not wanting to be reduced to our anatomy, our bodies. We don't want to be reduced to being objects, but then in the same breath turn around and say like, but I'm the prize. Like, a prize is nothing more than an object, a shiny object. And I don't want to be viewed as much. We have to normalize taking a step back and evaluating the way in which we speak about ourselves, not only in the context of men, but just amongst ourselves. How do we talk about the value that we bring as women? How do we talk about ourselves as it relates to other women? I think all of that is important, because oftentimes when we do refer to ourselves as the prize or as whatever, we are succumbing to the exact same respectability politics that has led to our repressed sexualities. And as someone who has been liberated and has owned her sexuality, has found agency in it, I don't ever want to go back to anything that would be repressive. So, when I think about how my views on sexuality have changed over time, one of my earliest memories, and of course at the time I didn't know that this was just some more sexist, misogynistic bullshit that was being fed to me, because again, our views on sex, and I've said this before, are planted there. We don't just wake up one day as kids and like, this is how we're going to view sex for the rest of our lives. The people around us, the environments that we're placed in directly impact the way we view sex, right? I remember I was maybe 12. I was 12 years old. And at the age of 12, I had already started my period, so I'm becoming a woman, right? And at that time, I remember that I hadn't seen my father, my biological father, for a couple years. I want to say maybe three years at the time, 3 or 4 years. So it was a while before I saw him again. Not going to get into that. But I saw him and we were having conversations. He was basically trying to catch up on my life since I last saw him, because now he went from seeing me at the age of like 8 or 9. And now I am a little taller. I have breasts at this point. I got a period. You need to go take me to get some pads, daddy. Like, I'm a different person now. So he's trying to get to know his new tween daughter. And I remember him saying, like, just straight up, he was like, are you having sex? And I'm like, no. I didn't feel any type of way about him asking at the time. And I still don't feel any type of way knowing what I know now, because a lot of people have sex early. I was someone who had sex early. Not that damn early, though. Not 12 early, right? But because I wasn't already having sex, he took this as an opportunity to tell me a story and give me an analogy as to why I shouldn't have sex. And let me tell y'all what the analogy was, because I will never forget it. One thing about me, it's a lot of shit that my dad said to me that I never forgot. This man gave me a shoe analogy. He said, because you're not having sex, you are like a brand new pair of shoes. And everybody is going to want to get you because you are a brand new pair of shoes. But once somebody sticks their foot in you, you are no longer a brand new pair of shoes. And I'm like, okay. Again, I'm 12. I accept it for what it was. Now that I'm a grown-ass woman, that is the worst fucking thing you could. Why the fuck did you call me a fucking shoe? And you telling me, like, if somebody put their funky ass foot in me, now I'm not a brand new pair of shoes no more. Like, what? But I know that he didn't mean any harm with that analogy. But a lot of what our dads, our uncles, the older male figures in our lives, when it came to formulating these ideas around sexuality, again, they didn't mean any harm. That does not mean that they were not doing harm. That does not mean that they were not planting seeds of shame, you feeling like you have to repress whatever it is, right? Because, yeah, that was a wild-ass analogy. He gave me a car analogy, too. He used the same thing. He said, okay, you a brand new car. Like, stop calling me a brand new object, period. Like, I'm a person. And first of all, virginity is just a fucking purity myth to control women within itself. So it's just constant years that as little, again, little girls are told don't have sex. Little boys are told, hey, you get out here and you get you some pussy, because they don't want boys to be gay. So they want to make sure boys get pussy as soon as possible. But the girls need to not be fucking anybody. Which is pretty, it all of this is, it's insane. It's insane. And at some point we have to get healthy about the conversations and the actions that we have around sex. And in order for that to do that, we have to peel back like those layers of where did I learn this? Why do I think this way? Historically, we know for a 100% fact that women's sexuality has been vilified, whether it be women being seen as witches because they enjoy sex too much, whether it be, I think Sigmund Freud said that the clitoral orgasm was just a symbol of women's sexual immaturity. That no, the clitoris, that's just a very immature person if they enjoy clitoral stimulation. Like, what? A lot of the things that men supported with science led to years and years and years. And it was bad science at that. It wasn't good science. It was terrible science. It sucked, right? Again, they were able to figure out how to go to the fucking moon, but not understanding the structure of a clitoris. Insane, insane. And a lot of sexual history is based around men's sexual pleasure. It's not around women's sexual pleasure. So I think now more than ever, it's so important to have these conversations around sex when it comes to women in particular, very much women. Mind you, the clitoris' sole job is a pleasure organ. It serves no other purpose. We don't need a clitoris to reproduce. We literally only have a clitoris for our pleasure. Men don't have that. Like, their pleasure organ and their reproductive organ is the same. Like, they can't, like, men are here to reproduce. Like, it just so happens that they experience pleasure at the same time. Us, we don't have to reproduce to experience pleasure. Like, the clitoris is literally just like our own little happy place. Like, it's just a little amazing little playground, right? And that's all it's there for. It is just there for our pleasure. And for so long, we have been made to feel ashamed of it, to not want to explore it. And it's reflective in the fact that, again, it wasn't until 1998 that we even found out what the clitoral structure was, right? I will say that, yes, some progress has been made, but not enough. Not enough progress. Because, again, men's pleasure has been prioritized. And because of that, what we also know to be true is men more often than not, because their pleasure has been prioritized, because there is no shame associated with their sexual expression, they're free to roam and explore, versus, again, women who have to deal with the hundreds of years of being seen as something that was impure. And impure because our pleasure was misunderstood by men. Not because they really tried hard to understand. They were like, no, these women that like sex are crazy. And they threw you in a mental institution. Like, that's really what, if you enjoy sex too much, you were thrown in a mental institution, or you were assumed to be a sex worker. And what's crazy about that is, for so long, women have been held accountable for not only their own sexual activity, but the activities of others. And we see that in victim blaming. We see that in people saying like, oh, well, if you act like this or you act like that, don't be surprised if you're treated like this or treated like that. How someone treats me has everything to do with their character, not necessarily mine. If a man tells me that in order for him to respect me, I have to dress a certain way, I have to talk a certain way. No, that just means that it's not in your character to be a respectable person, because I'm not going to be any less of a person to one person versus someone else if it's in my character to be a certain way. And I think that the more we have these conversations, the more that women will be more comfortable with exploring their sexuality, being more comfortable with expressing their sexuality. Because imagine a world where nobody had to feel ashamed about their freaky, kinky sexual desires. I think everyone would be happier. Like, literally, everyone would have a... I think that if there was no sexual shame, everyone would have a better way of living. Like, because at that point, you can engage in sex or not engage in sex as much or as little as you want to. And there's literally nothing that comes after that, right? You don't have to worry about people judging. You don't have to worry about how people look at you, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And let's normalize that. Let's normalize minding your own pussy. Normalize minding your own dicks, right? And I think that's how we get closer to more pleasure when it comes to sexuality. So, honestly, that's like my rant. That is my rant. That's all I have for you guys today. If you are new to Provocative, go back and listen to some more episodes. The fuck? To everybody that's been listening for a while, thank you for tuning in. You guys may have already heard, but your girl is going to be on TV. I'm actually really excited about that. So this is my first time actually mentioning it on the show. I will be on the Oprah Winfrey Network new TV series. It is called The Never Ever Met. And it airs on April 19th. So you guys will be hearing this a couple weeks in advance. And like I said, I'm kind of excited. I'm excited. And I can't really tell you guys anything else. I can't give you guys any spoilers. The only thing I can say is that it takes the idea of online dating to the next level. As always, feel free to leave a review. Feel free to rate the show. Send it to some people that you think would enjoy it. And yeah, that's all I got. Until next time.
Before you go, I want to remind you to embrace your inner hoe. Thank you for tuning into Provocative. And don't forget to follow us on all streaming platforms. Happy hoeing.
P-R-H-O-E. D-O-C-A-T-I-V-E. Spelled with the word hoe, because deep down, we all got some hoe in us. And this is your safe space to be unapologetically provocative.
Oh, is my ground too masculine?
You put the nigga in missionary.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You could have
because this shit is wild.